and grace to grace.
Praise you, mighty God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, for all you've done in our lives. We thank you for your presence here this morning, destroying yokes and lifting burdens. Father, I pray that you be with Carolyn as she's lost a good friend. Be with Barb's daughter, Lord God. Father, comfort them. Comfort Kay. Yvonne, this morning, Lord God, as Rocky has passed. And Father, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would come down, that your Holy Spirit, Lord God, would comfort her, lead her, guide her, and direct her in this time of difficulty. And Father, we'll never fail to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody need an offering envelope? Get them while they're hot. Make your lips go flippy-flop. Yeah. Hallelujah. Deb will take care of you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Crazy. Anybody need an envelope? Hallelujah. Just now, I think. I was going over there to see him today. Good news about Rocky, when I visited him in Columbus, he gave his heart to the Lord. Amen. So, not because I went or Deb went, God showed up. It was time. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. God is good all the time. So, if you weren't here Wednesday, how much money, can you guess how much money was in the two jars, the coins, just out of the coin? That's right. Yeah, nice try. Debbie wasn't here Wednesday either, but she's the one that took it to the bank and got it counted. So anyway, there was $288 in change, and then our total offerings were almost $1,300 too. Amen. Help the Jewish people in Israel. Praise his mighty name. Hallelujah. Let's pray and you can give. Father, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for a seed we can sow in your kingdom. We thank you, Father. We place this seed in the hand of a mighty God. You'll multiply it. You'll use it to expand your kingdom. And you'll cause a harvest back to the sower. For that, we give you glory and honor and praise. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Miss Bernie. Glory, glory, glory. Hi, pretty girl. She's still not going to look at me. Hallelujah. Oops. You put it in? Thank you. Run me down. Hallelujah. I don't usually do this. I'm a little rusty. Did I get everybody? I didn't. Praise his mighty name. Well, you're in for a treat this morning. I have a friend of mine, and I'm going to ask him, Pastor Samuel Guattari. Call him Sammy, Pastor Sammy. You want that pulpit or you want me to bring one over here? It's whatever you want to do. Okay, you can be up there. Okay. Don't get up. Sammy is from Kenya, Africa. I asked him. We were talking about being chased by lions, you know, and that you didn't have to outrun the lion, you just had to outrun the chubby guy. You know? But Pastor Sammy has planted, I don't know, over 100 churches in Kenya. And I'm going to ask him to come. He can tell you all about himself as much as he wants to. And I'm going to turn the service over to Pastor Sammy Guattari. Smile in case your family's watching you, okay? If you're watching, hi, Rose, Tim, and Grace, right? Did I get them all right? All right, here you go.
Well, praise the Lord. That's how we greet in Kenya. We say praise the Lord, and we answer hallelujah. And that's how it works for us. It's a joy for me to be back. I've always loved coming back here. Every time I come, I miss one or two people. I especially miss your grandmother. Because every time I came, she always came to me and gave me some lollipop. And when I took one, she said, "Can you have another one, Pastor?" And I don't usually eat lollipops, but every time I came here, I got them. And for some reason, I missed them, you know. She was special to me. Greetings from Kenya. My family, he named them well. They sent greetings. I talked to my son this morning, his pastor in Kenya, Timothy, and he said, "Please greet those people." I talk a lot about this church because this church means something special to me. Perhaps, maybe you more than you know. I was with Pastor Bush when he was dreaming this church, and I remember coming with him to remodel the first building. And we spent the day moving things and painting the buildings. And yeah. And I remember that time we also came for when there's a parade. And we were here, you know, passing leaflets and talking to people. I have observed this church over the years. And I have sweet memories about it. And I love this ministry. And one of the things I love about this church is you have a special pastor. Oh, and his wife, they are special guys. I don't know many people who can do what they do. Do two churches, one Sunday, and don't miss? That was something. And then I would have Pastor Bush, and I enjoy, one of the things probably you will not know about him, he is a worshiper. Oh, we'll go to church and there's only him. I mean, he doesn't even ask me to worship with him. He just put music and here he goes. I can only imagine. He's all alone there. And he goes and he goes like he's having a whole service alone. And worships. And you know, I love Pastor Bush. He's a man who loves the Lord and particularly the Word of God. I don't know many people who dig the Word like he does. First time I met him, he and recorded so many audio messages. Yeah. And he was doing it in a room alone. So that tells you how I think about this ministry. And you know, Pastor Bush also, besides being a pastor in his church, I think he pastors too many pastors. And I don't think there's anybody I know who has taken me to as many other pastors like he has. You remember those days you took me to? Oh my goodness, so many of them. And I said, this man is a pastor. He probably is an apostle. But he does okay to teach. And I enjoy his teaching. Well, so that to tell you, I have a love for this ministry, and I love coming back. When you don't see me, I pray for you. I always do. And I pray for Maggie. I love our hugs, and I miss the people here. So that's about what I think about this church. I love it. Now, I'll tell you a little bit about myself and then what the Lord is doing for us. And then I am going to share with you a very special scripture. In a few minutes, you will be blessed. I was considering that some 40 years ago, 41 I think, the Lord met me. I was a young man. I was, I think, 19. And I was not sure where I was going in life. I was going to a Catholic church. And they told me, you can never be sure about your eternal destiny, this side of the world. And I tried to please God. I did everything I know. I did a lot of good things. The trouble with doing good is one day you will do something terrible. And the terrible will make you feel like you never did anything. And I never felt good enough. I was always going for confession, even though I was a young fellow without many things to confess. But I always knew, measured against God's perfectness, something is wrong with me. And I always feared the day I'll stand before God and be judged. I viewed God as a judge, a hard one, learned to condemn everyone who messed up. And but one day, 22nd April, I'll never forget, 1977, I heard the gospel for the first time. And it was made so clear that Jesus loves us. God so loved the world, he sent his only son. That whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. He made it so simple that he loved, he did, he came, he fulfilled the law, he fulfilled everything I needed. Then he died on the cross instead of me. He died, he was buried, he rose again. And that now, if I put my faith in him, my whole life will change. I'll become a son of God. My goodness, they made it so easy. It's different from if you do. And it was believe, receive. Oh my goodness. It was news too good for me. It was too good news. The good news is he has done his part and my part, and all that I needed is to receive what he's done. That was too good news. Amen. And they said something, Father, if you do this, if you believe him, you will not only be a son of God, you will have eternal life now, not later. I said, really? They said, Father, it's not only that, you become a new creature. You will be recreated. You will be made holy. You will be made righteous. Isn't all of them are being made? Yeah. They said you have a gift of holiness. You have a gift of righteousness. You have a gift of sonship. I said, God has gifts. Because I knew God has demanding. This was different.
Yeah.
I said, so what do I need to do? They said, you believe him in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. I said, only that. They said, yeah, it's so easy. Believe in your heart that he did it for you, then confess with your mouth that he is Lord, you'll be saved.
Amen.
That was big news. That day, they didn't tell me how wicked I was. They didn't tell me to enumerate what I have done and what I have not done. All that I needed to do is to believe that whatever it was, Jesus did it for me.
Amen.
And because he did it, all I need to do is receive it.
Right.
I said, really? They said, all your debt was paid. Not a little, all of it. And paid in full. Ooh, I said, really? They said, you don't believe it? The Bible says when Jesus was the cross, when he finished paying for all your mess, he said, it is finished.
Amen. That's right.
Finished.
Yes.
Complete.
Yes.
Paid in full. I said, really? I said, so how does this become part of me? And they said, oh, easy. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 6, 7, 8, and 9. Said, what does that say? Remember, I never learned the Bible. They said, it says, you are saved by grace. And I said, saved? That sounds like past tense. I thought we won't be saved. They said, no, you are saved by grace through faith. Oh, that evening, everything changed for me. I surrendered my life to Jesus. I said, Lord, come into my life. Lord, I believe you. You are the Son of the living God. I believe you are the Messiah. You are the Savior. I believe you, my Lord. I can't tell you how it felt. I think I went from down on the earth, I went to heaven and back. Life was so sweet, so good. It changed everything about me. I desired that everybody should hear this, that everybody should know this. And for about 2 years, I labored to make everyone I knew, especially my family, know the Lord. But did they do that? No. They were harsh. They were nasty. They were difficult. They were persecuting. But you know, persecution does not make you weaker. It don't make you less of a child of God. It makes you a tougher, better, more mature child of God. It makes you realize it's not about you, it's about him. It moves you from relying on what you feel to what you know. It moves you from living from performance to living by faith. I stopped seeing what they are doing. I started seeing what the promise I heard in Jesus. You know, the day I believed the Lord, I learned also, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. I believed that word. The trouble of believing sometimes is what you believe and what you see don't sometimes line up. That's right. I believed that my family will be saved, but they hated me. Yeah. They disliked my faith. They talked ill of my faith. They thought I'm lost. I remember the worst of it. I was called home and told to make a decision between following this Jesus, being born again as you claim, that's what they said, or denounce all that, come back to our church and be a good boy. And that day, I didn't have words, but I had a song. And I sang to them that day. I don't sing very well, but I sing something. And I sang, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. And that was my answer. It was from my heart. It hurt me to know that I am choosing against family and people that I know and people that I love. I was shown the door. I didn't have a job. I was in high school. I didn't know where to go. I had no home. But as I was leaving, I got the door and turned to them back. I said, I need to tell you, you will also get to get saved. He is going to be your savior. You too will follow. My dad got very annoyed with me that day. He said something that I think was prophetic. I'm his firstborn son. He said, you know, you are my big elephant. See, in the bush you have elephants, and the big one will cut the trail for the others. You're my big elephant. You're supposed to cut the trail for the others. I said, amen. Amen. I knew now What I'm cutting, they will follow. As in, that's the truth. You too will follow, and everyone will follow.
Amen.
You know, this is the beauty. The same year my dad got saved. 6 months later, I was far away. He got saved. The following day, my mother got saved. My aunt too. Finally, all my brothers, all my sisters are saved. In my family, we are 5 sons, and 4 of us are ministers. And my sisters serve the Lord differently. And the Lord uses our family very, very strongly. We've seen all kinds of miracles. We've seen anything. I mean, the Lord is good. So my brothers call me Big Elephant. That's my nickname. I still believe that cutting a path is my mission.
Amen.
That's why I have put my energy and time in planting churches. In 1982, I started the first church. And we worked at it for 1 or 2 years. Then in 83, we started another one. 84, we got another one. In 1986, we started another one. 87, we started another one. 89, we did another one. And before long, we were moving. And I have a dream that before I am 80, I'm now 59. By the grace of God, we will have planted 500 churches. That's my dream. That's my desire. But I'll tell you why I do that. Every place you start a church, you have a permanent presence of the Word of God. Every place you plant a church, whether you are there or not, somebody will go there and hear the Word. A child will be born and dedicated there. Somebody will come discouraged and find life. Every church plant is a living, permanent testimony of the gospel. That's why I love it. I love going back to some of the churches I started earlier, and some of them don't know who I am. I went to one, I built the church, much bigger than this, and I sat at the balcony as the worship was going on, and I saw the people worshiping, and I counted, I did not know more than 2 people. But here we have 700-800 people worshiping that I don't know. And I said, if I never came here, where will all these people be? It's so special to me. I went to another one, and the youth were having their meeting. I was there, and I enjoyed what they are doing. And they just thought I'm just an old man around. The youth, because youth think I'm old. So I introduced myself. I said, do you know me? They said, no. Who are you? I said, my name is Sammy Gitari. They said, oh, we have heard about you. You're the one who bought this building. Yeah, you're the one who started this church. We have heard about you. But that's all they knew about me. And I'll tell you something. They don't have to know about me. They are there because I've obeyed the Lord and started that church. I put my money there. I put my time. I remember that church was one of the most troublesome. I preached there for 1 year. Only 5 people came. 4 old ladies and 1 old man. Only 5. Sunday and Wednesday. And I knew how much they would give. They didn't have much money. I mean, I couldn't know how much they would give before I leave my house. It was a little amount of money. The money they were giving was not enough to pay the hall that we were renting for them. But for 1 year, I was faithful there, hammering the word, believing God will make it grow. And almost 1 year down the road, one of them told me, she was calling Susan. Susan said, Pastor, do you still believe we will grow? Don't you think it's even better to close this? I don't like seeing you coming. Oh, this twice a week and all that for just 5 of us. I said, you know, the Lord who sent me here knows what he is doing. The end of that year, some 5 young people joined. And then a few other people. And a few other people. And a few other people. Today is a big church. I need to say this. It doesn't always happen overnight. Sometimes it takes a long time. But I am committed to it. Every church is a place the gospel will be having a presence for longer than the pastor, for longer than the members. That's why I believe in church planting. Every year we plant. Last year we planted 2. This year we have started 1. And church planting is expensive, difficult. Pastor Butch will tell you that. It's difficult, it's expensive, it's not for faint-hearted people. It's one of those things you do. Sometimes you even doubt your faith because you go through so much. Sometimes you plant a church and the people you labored so much for don't like you. And that hurts. That hurts. The people you prayed for, the people you gave money for, the people you believed in, they come grow up and they don't like you. But this is my point though. Whether they like me or not, the church is planted. The kingdom is expanding. It wasn't after me in the first place. Oh, I have planted churches that have grown, and when they were young, everything was moving okay. Then, when they become big, the pastor grows horns. And he says, you know, Bishop now. They call me Bishop. He says, you know now, Bishop, we think we need to be independent. We need to be on our own. And we just want you to bless us. And they want to go with everything. Want to go with the people, with the money, with the buildings, with everything. And I'm left sometimes to think, do we fight or do we release it? I discovered something. My sons are going to be my sons whether they acknowledge it or they don't. It doesn't, if my son tells me, you are not my father anymore, I will not cry. I'll let him go where he's going. After a while, he'll come back and say, Dad, I think I was stupid. I think you didn't know anything, but now I realize you knew plenty. And so that's the story of church planting. And I work at that. That's where I put my money. That's where I put my time. I spend time training the pastors, training the leaders, and making sure it works. But I have a very special passion for family. All over the world, the family is under attack. All over the world. There is a movement that is evil, that hates family. It hates children. It hates wife. It hates husbands. It hates honor. And family is under attack everywhere. In America, I can assure you it is. In Kenya, it is. Everywhere. And one day the Lord spoke to me and said, listen, if you build strong families, you will build strong churches and the society will be better. And I have a ministry to the family. I believe we should reinforce, strengthen, and build families. Every one of us comes from a family. Whether it is functional or dysfunctional, we come from family. And we need a lot of help in building families. So that's one of our ministries. We call it Solid Family Resources. And by that, we are doing family seminars, counseling, whatever else that can be done that will build family. We have many people who are from broken homes and they need help and support to get back their life and to move forward. So those are some of the things we do. We do it through the TV, through radio, through whatever we can. I'll tell you why I like radio and television. I was getting frustrated pastoring a church that was small. I was laboring, preparing 10 hours for a sermon. Then only 50 people show up. And I put 10 hours of it. And I'm going to preach it 1 hour. And I said, Lord, this is waste of time. Even if I work so hard, there are only 50. And the Lord spoke to me that one day. He said, oh, give your messages wings to fly and legs to learn. I said, how can I do that? And the Lord said, every message I give you, put it on something. Put it on a pamphlet. Put it in a book. Put it on radio. Put it on television. Move it from your hands. Let it go without you. That's how my media ministry was born. And I can tell you, something I really enjoy is preparing a message in my office, not even in a church. Get it packaged. Go to the radio station and put it there. Go back to my house, and 1 hour later, people are calling and saying, I am listening to you. I'm being blessed. Oh, it ends and people say, I have listened to that message. Can I receive the Lord? I say, sure. How do you do? And I lead people to the Lord because they were listening on radio or they were watching on television. One lady told me, I was in prison and I never missed your preaching. I listened to you on radio. I watched you on television. That's how I got faith. And when she came out of prison, she was a transformed person. Why? Because we were ministering through the messenger's legs to go and wings to fly. And I tell you, we need to do that. You know, so that's a lot of what we do. Or there are many other things we do, but I think that's enough for me to let you know who I am and what I do. Now, I came with a few books, and you can get yourself a copy of the books. My friend Lewis get a copy for himself, Pathway to Marriage, and there are others there. He asked me how much I'm selling. I said $120, so that he wouldn't pay. That was what I want is you can get yourself a book and give me an offering. Probably $5 will be enough for my books, but I will not sell. I think I would rather you give an offering. You get a book, put an offering there for me. So that everyone can have and will not be limited by the prices. Some places I would say $10. Then I thought, let's have an offering. Let's not limit. And then pray for me also. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 11. I am a Bible teacher, and I'm glad you have a Bible teacher too as your pastor. And I'll tell you something that I get concerned about as a Bible teacher. Sometimes Christians behave like they are going to school when they are going to church. And we go to church like we are going to learn. In Kenya, they say, we are going to learn. We are ready to learn. We come to school. We come to be educated. We come to get information passed on. But I think church is more than a school. Our faith needs to have more than information. Our faith needs also to be experienced. Mm-hmm. And many times I found it's a lot. We can become too mental, too intellectual in our faith. And we miss God is not intellectual. God is also our heart. He loves to reach our hearts. God is also practical. Mm-hmm. Reminds me, my brother was preaching one of my sermons one day, and he preached about Brian Bartimaeus. You found about the man who said, have mercy upon me. And when he finished, a blind man walked in front, and he said, I'm the man you've been talking about. You said, if I believe like he did, I can see. And my young brother wanted to learn away because he was not focusing on the experience part. He was focusing on the mental part, in the information bit and all that. And he looked around, and he looked around, then he finally prayed, and nothing happened. He laid hands on him, nothing happened. He walked about, nothing happened. He spoke in tongues, nothing happened. And the man wouldn't go, he was there. Finally, he lays hand on him. And he's saying, you are healed. And suddenly the man said, oh, I can see, I can see. And that was a major change. I recognize that we need to be informed, very informed. But we must also move from information to activation. And I want to speak to you today about activation, activating your faith, making the word you have come to life. And we're going to read Mark chapter 11. And I ask that we put it on the, verses 12 to 14. Wonderful. And the reason I wanted us to do that is I wanted us to lean together. Loudly. Can we do that? Do you do that here? I like reading the word loudly together. So let's read together. Now, the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In the response, let one, and his disciples hand him. All right, then we jump over to verses, the next one is verses 20, I think. Are we there? Okay, if we are there, can we again lean? Now, in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter remembering, saying to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which has withered away. So Jesus answered and saying to them, have faith in God, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Amen. That's a simple story, and I want to speak to you very briefly about a simple story. Jesus used an episode in his life. He was going to Jerusalem. Actually, the following day he was going to do a tough thing. He was going to chase everyone out. But this day, he goes to Bethany, and as he was getting out of Bethany, he finds a tree, a fig tree, and it looked like it has something he can eat. He was hungry. And he went to the tree, and the tree was unproductive. It had nothing. And Jesus did something that don't make sense. He spoke to a tree. Normally you don't speak to trees, you don't speak to cars, you don't speak to cats. I mean, you can speak to a cat, but to speak to a tree don't make sense. He actually spoke to the tree. I want you to notice this. He spoke to a thing. He spoke to a tree. And he told the tree something. From today, nobody will eat anything from you. And this is what is important. He did not just say it in his heart. He said it out loudly. The Bible says, and his disciples heard it. He was not saying in his heart, and it's good to say in your heart. But this one he said, even enough for his disciples to hear. And they noted it, but I don't think they thought anything. And they went away. They did what they were doing. Nothing seemed to have changed at all. The tree looked like it looked before he said that. It was green. It was leafy. It was normal. You know. So they went away. The following day when they came back, the disciples noted something has changed overnight. And they say, hey, look, Jesus, come on here. Look, Jesus, the tree you cast yesterday has dried to the roots. because he had a lesson to give them. And he said, have faith in God. He used this episode to teach a major doctrine, a major practice. Have faith in God. Now, and he showed them how to have faith in God. He even moved on and told them, you don't even speak only to a tree, you can speak to a mountain. He said, you see this other mountain? If you have faith, you can speak to it. And even the mountain will obey you. Will do what you said. Now, these are two interesting situations. But he goes further. Verses 24, he goes further. And says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Now, he is using a simple issue to bring a major thing. How do you move from knowledge to experience? Because Christianity needs to move beyond your hand. It needs to move from your hand to your heart. But if you only get it from your hand to your heart, you're going to be just a fat Christian, full of things, but no power, no impact. You need to move beyond knowledge. There are many, many people who are extremely knowledgeable, but their lives are dry, empty. Nothing happens. We have many people who have degrees in engineering, but they cannot change a light bulb. They have information, but it's not helping them. We have many people who have studied Genesis to Revelation. They can quote the whole Bible, but they are as dry as a dry wound. Nothing happens around them. They run away from small devils, not even big ones. They run away. They are destroyed by tiny challenges because what they know is not ignited from knowledge to life. Right. Did you know that everything you need is provided for?
Amen. Yes.
The one who saved you also made provision for everything. The Bible says he that gave us his only son. How will he not also with him give us all things? The problem is, what is provided must be accessed. The provision is there, but how do you get the access if it is provided and you don't know how to get what is provided? You will struggle the same way. First time I came to America, I had a funny problem. I went to in North Carolina, and the weather people say in West Virginia, the temperature will be 26 the following day. And my host told me, you better dress warm because tomorrow, where you are going, is going to be 26. I come from Kenya. 26 is very hot because it's 26 Celsius. And I had 26 Celsius, not Fahrenheit. I knew it was going to be 26. 26 did not help me. I came dressed in a normal shirt, simple, not even a t-shirt, just an easy shirt. I alighted from the bus and I thought, I'm going to die. The sun was all over the place. That's normal in Africa. When the sun is up, it is warm. Here, it was bright and terribly cold. I stood outside there before my host come to correct me, to pick me, and I couldn't hold it for 10 minutes. Oh my goodness, that 26 was painful. Very painful. Extremely painful. And the wind was also blowing. Oh man, my knowledge was useless. I knew it's going to be cold, but I did not know how to behave with the knowledge I had. Before long, I was shivering. I started looking around. I noticed there was a shop around, and I got into that shop. When I got in, I felt better. It was warm inside. And I said, do you have clothes for warm clothes here? And they showed me some warm clothes. I dressed in the shop. What was my problem? There was provision of information, but I had no way of transferring it into experience that is a blessing to me. We have a lot of things God has promised us, provided for us, but because we don't know how to get into them, we live in problem. We live different. We don't enjoy the blessing that are ours. Listen, Jesus gave us the simplest ways. Number one, you need to know what it is that is provided to you. You need to know the word. You need to know what has God provided. But now from there, how do you make it yours? How do you do it? There is one switch in your life that connects all the miraculous for you. And if you get it right, everything will change. Unfortunately, the world is absolutely scientific. If we can't taste it, we don't know what to do with it. If we can't touch it, we don't think it exists. It's a scientific world. But reality is this. What is in the supernatural is just as real as what is in the physical. But how do you move it from the supernatural, from the unseen to the seen? The switch is given to every one of us. The switch is your tongue. Your tongue is a switch that will switch on right in your life or switch it off. That will turn everything that is in the world into reality.
Amen.
Listen to what happened. The Bible says, Jesus looked at the tree and he did not cut it. He cast it. He spoke to it.
Yes.
Words are powerful.
Yes, sir.
Very, very powerful. Yes, extremely powerful. We handle it to our own peril. He spoke to the tree. It doesn't look reasonable. It doesn't make sense talking to a tree. But that switch that switches the supernatural is your mouth. Many years ago, I went to a meeting. There was an American preacher preaching. I was a young man, angry for God, desiring to see miracles. And they said miracles will happen in this meeting. And I went to the meeting. I looked for people who I could tell a tangible miracle happened. One was a cripple who crawled to the meeting. I got near him. The other one was a blind person who was really blind. Nothing was in the eyes. And I sat near these two. One, the cripple was a man. The blind one was a woman. And I started there. And the preacher preached a good sermon. When he finished, I wasn't listening for the sermon. I was waiting for the miracle. When he finished, he prayed a very good prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing happened. Zero. Nothing. He preached, nothing happened. He prayed, nothing happened. I thought, this preacher is fake. He said people will be healed. Miracles will happen. No miracle has happened. But I was wrong. I opened my eyes. I was still looking. I would look this way and look this way. I wanted to see. I was hungry for a miracle. But no miracle has happened. And the preacher has prayed. He has preached. He has said, amen. Then he started talking. He said, now you are healed. Now you can see. Now you can walk. Now you can jump. Get out of your wheelchair. Get out of your that. Start moving. You are healed. I couldn't believe what I saw. The crippled man rose up and I could hear noise in his legs as the bones were recreating. Then he started running. I started running after him. I mean, it was a shock to me to see legs created. And then, before I went far, I looked at the woman and she opened her eyes. There was nothing. It looked like blood was there, a lead thing. Then something started forming, and I saw some white substance and some black one. And she said, I can't see. Oh my goodness. Now I stopped following the crippled man. I started following the woman. And there was commotion all over the place. I said, what exactly happened. The difference between the preaching and the prayer and the miracle was a declaration of healing. That's the point I'm making. The healing, the word was great. It went to the heart, went to the mind. The prayer was good. It went to God. But that didn't change it. It was the point at which he made the declaration, the miracle started happening. And there were so many. Over the years, I have seen over and over the same thing. You can pray for a million days, but you don't move until you get to the point of making the all-important declaration. By the way, did you know, even salvation, you can believe all you want until you confess the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's where salvation comes. It's a declaration. It's a use of your tongue to declare what is in the spirit and bring it to manifestation in the natural. Okay. Now, that is what it is. It's we learning to learn to say. I have looked at the many miracles in the Bible, and you know what I find? Physical manifestations respond to declarations of what is in the spirit. I do not know anyone who walks in any supernatural who does not declare it. I don't know anyone, and I know many. I have found when you move it from your hand to your mouth, things begin happening. Now, the problem in your society is some people misuse that and other people broke their minds. I am not saying that you declare that my coat is yours. That's not what I'm trying to say. And that is a misuse of the word. That is a misuse of people. Anyway, so you need to declare. Now, the Bible says you have faith in God. What is faith? Faith is not an idea. Faith is confidence. Faith is trust. Faith is more than believing. You move from believing to trusting. How do I know you have moved from that? I can tell you this. If you do not trust, it's possible to believe that I can do something. Is another thing to trust that it can be done. Trust is deeper than that. Trust is confidence. You believe, you have confidence. It's beyond thinking. It's beyond a feeling. When you have faith, feelings are not necessary all the time. By the way, let me tell you something. All the miracles I've enjoyed in my life do not begin when I'm feeling. They all, the feelings follow. Sometimes I don't feel like I have faith. But I know I have faith because faith is based on the word of God. Sometimes I don't feel anything. I remember every person I prayed for who received a major miracle, it's not when I was feeling like, oh man, things are flowing. Sometimes I'm even worried. I feel like running away. But you know, when I know the word, and I stick with the word, and I say what the word says, now that confidence is in the word, not in my feeling. I remember I told you about my parents telling me, you go away. I had the faith that they will come to the Lord. So much confidence that I could face them and say, you too will follow. And they did not appear like to ever follow. Nobody looked interested, but I could see them in. In other words, when I have faith in something, I see the result. Then I pray the result into reality. And I speak the result into becoming. When you have a desire in your heart, that's where you begin your desire. You form the picture. And then you get the word. And you speak what the word says. That brings it to reality. I can say this. This is for every area of your life. This is for your health. This is for your money. Yes. This is for your house. Yes. This is for your society. This is for everything. You can rule in your area by doing the right thing. You see, power does not make noise. If you want to know, I can tell you, electricity in this house doesn't make noise. But if you want to know it is powerful, just hold two live wires. You will know how powerful it is. My roommate did that when we were in college. We had two bands, my band and his band. And his light bulb would not work. And rather than thinking like a person who knows anything, he thought he can test with his finger. And he put his finger at the light bulb place. And I can tell you, I saw the man jump my band at his. He got a shock. Why? Even though it was saying nothing, it was there. And the power, even in you, will not make noise. But it will be seen when it is manifested. Listen, if from today you learn to take the word, put it in your heart, all right, but move it beyond intellectualism. Move it from thinking. Move it from imagining. Move it from feeling better into speaking it and walking into it. I used to have a problem with my eyes. Some very funny pain that was never going. It was pain 24 hours for about 4 years. I went to every kind of hospital, didn't help. I got glasses, they didn't correct it because it was not sight, it was pain. I got very desperate. But when I got saved, I learned the Bible for the first time. I bought the New Testament. That's what I could afford. I learned Matthew to Revelation, Matthew to Revelation, Matthew to Revelation, about four times. By the fourth time, my mind was clear. Jesus is a healer. Yes. And he is the same yesterday and today and forever. I was absolutely satisfied that what I was seeing happening there can happen today. And you know, I did not have someone praying for me. I started saying, Jesus is my healer. Jesus has healed me. And people thought I'm crazy. And I also thought I'm crazy for a while because I was still feeling pain. But as I started speaking the word, I don't know where the pain went. It just got lost. It vanished 1977. I think it was May something. It's no longer there. My wife has sometimes more faith than I do. She loves eating eggs. And I had an allergy for eggs. Serious allergy. When we got married, she would cook eggs. And there are two of us in the house. So the first day she cooks eggs, she's the only one who could eat them. And the next day, after a week, she said, I will not keep eating eggs without you eating. I said, I have a serious allergy for eggs. And she said, I'll pray for you. I said, well, I have prayed for myself. Nothing happened. She said, well, but I have not prayed for you. Mm-hmm. And I thought, is he trying to suggest he has more faith than I do? Mm-hmm. I was a preacher, you know. Yeah, yeah. I was a preacher. I was the one who was a preacher, not her, you know. But she prayed. This one day, she prayed. Okay. She prayed that God will take away the allergy. And she says, in his stripes, you are healed. She said, you are healed. You are healed. I believed her saying that. But that was not what changed it. She went to the kitchen and cooked two eggs. When she brought, I said, you want me to suffer? She said, but I prayed for you. You are healed. I hesitated for a while. Believe you me, it was not my faith that was working. It is her faith. I ate the two eggs and I waited to suffer. And nothing happened. My mind had a problem. My body was okay. The following days he cooked another two eggs. This day I did not question because I didn't suffer yesterday other than in my mind. So I ate them. I was no problem. My mind was a little okay. And the third day she made another two eggs. And I ate them. She was going to spoil me with eggs now. But that's how I got healed of allergy of eggs. I love eggs. Oh my goodness. I eat eggs. They are good. I love them scrambled. I love them all kinds. And I'll tell you this. The healing was not really not coming when I pray. I prayed and assumed something would happen that will tell me I'm healed. My wife knew the answer. She proclaimed but also acted in the right way. You can pray and pray and pray. You need to do another thing. Speak. What is your faith? After speaking your faith, start living your faith. You can't stay in bed saying, I was praying before. I know how it will be better. Get out of the bed. Take a step and another one. Move and bed. You will find you are stronger and healthier. I was praying for a sick man in our church several years ago. And this man came for prayer. And I prayed for him. I said, what's the problem? He said, I have a back problem. Never seems to go. It's so bad. So I said, okay, I prayed for him. Now, unfortunately for me, maybe fortunately, I don't think power is in volume. I don't think anointing is volume. I don't think if I have a high volume, God hears me more. So I did not pray loudly. I did not shake him. I just laid hands on him and prayed. Easily, I'll tell you why. I know who I believe. And I know him so well. He does not respond to noise. He does not respond to gymnastics. He does not respond to our pushing. He responds to his word and our faith. So I prayed simply. And I looked at him. I said, sir, do you know you are healed? He said, really? I said, oh, sure. You are healed. He said, really? I said, what couldn't you do? He said, I couldn't bend. It's painful. He said, try. So he went down. He said, aya, 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 aya. I mean, it was funny, funny. I said, you know, you are healed, just that you are not doing what you could not do. And that was the end of his pain. I prayed for a lady in our country who didn't have children. When I finished praying, I said, lady, do you know now you have babies? She said, really? I said, yeah. She had been without a child for 12 years. She said, now you have babies. So I went away. 1 year down the road, her husband found me in a conference. And he said, you know what? He did it. I said, what did he do? He did it. He was so excited he forgot to tell me what it is. And because I saw him only once, I was not remembering. He said, stand there. He got into the crowd and came back with his wife and a baby. He said, now you remember last year? Yeah, he did it. 20 years down the road, I met him. I said, how is my baby doing? He says, not only the baby, babies. My wife got 4 other babies. And the first one got married. You know, it was an interesting story. But I'm trying to say, we need to get the point where we move the faith from our hand to our heart, then to our mouth, and then walk into it. Activate your faith. Don't just remain with mental things in your life. We need more than that. I think I don't want to say more than this. I want to pray. I want to pray. And as I pray, I want you to think about what is it you want the Lord to do for you. It don't matter to me what it is. It don't matter how big it is. It don't matter how unendurable it looks. It don't matter how great it is. The God in heaven is able to solve all problems and to answer all questions and to meet all your needs according to his riches in glory. Let us pray. Jehovah, in the name of Jesus, I lift everyone in my sight and hearing my voice to you. I pray, Lord, every cry in their life, whether it is physical or emotional or spiritual, tangible or not tangible. Father, I am praying that today, according to your word, they are going to be released into the resort. Pray, Lord, that those who are sick will be released into health. In the name of Jesus, I command every pain to leave. I command every sickness to leave. In the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for doors that have been closed to open. In the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, everyone who could not move into a particular area because it is closed, let those doors open now. In the name of Jesus. I pray for favor and acceptance in areas where they were not allowed. Father, I pray that things will happen supernaturally. In the name of Jesus, that they will have favor with men, just like they have had favor with you. Jehovah God, I thank you that when I call you here, Lord God, I am praying for families struggling with issues. Oh, Lord, I pray that you will disconnect those who need to be disconnected and connect those who need to be connected in the right way. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I'm praying for those suffering emotional pains because of what was done to them. Lord, I pray that healing will take place in their hearts, in their lives, in their minds, right now, in the name of Jesus. Father, I am praying for those who have financial mountains they cannot handle. Now, in the name of Jesus, I speak to that financial mountain. In the name of Jesus, move! Be removed in the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, for those struggling with death that don't know what to do. I pray some of them will be canceled and wisdom will come from navigating and dealing with others. Jehovah God, I pray that there's going to be massive miracles in this church from this day. Jesus, I pray that reality of the things that in the spirit in their hearts is going to come and manifestation will be seen. Jehovah God, I thank you that you are answering and it is happening and it is done in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. It is done.
Thank you.
You are healed. You are set free. Your miracle is yours. You can see now. You have what you needed. Your life will never be the same again. You will walk into it. The tree is cast. Now it is drying. The manifestation is going to have to be seen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Sammy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not going to preach another message, but I am going to serve communion. Jackie, you and Grace help me. Hallelujah. Praise his mighty name. Good word, Pastor Sammy. Thank you. Hallelujah. While you're being served, I'm going to read this passage of scripture. When the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, he also took the cup, and after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Hallelujah.